You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th. You can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. All right, happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy 1 week until the Timberwolves regular season opener. 1 week from tonight, December 23rd, the Detroit Pistons will be at Target Center to take on the Timberwolves in the regular season and the home opener as well for the Timberwolves. So already looking forward to that, of course. Today on the show, I want to talk about a couple of Wolves notes, some quotes coming out of training camp, or I guess whatever we're calling the practices between preseason games out of the Wolves facility. Anthony Edwards had some interesting quotes. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is trying to force his way onto onto a standard contract, a guaranteed contract, and in turn, the regular season roster. So talk a little bit about that. And then I want to get into the Sports Illustrated player rank, which on the heels of the ESPN player rank that we talked about last week on the show, I think SI did a better job, certainly ranking Timberwolves players. And so we'll talk through those and compare it a little bit to the ESPN list from last week as well. All right, a quick reminder as always to please subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can find this show anywhere. And if you're so inclined, help us out with a positive review on iTunes, on Apple. That helps us get in front of more folks, as always. And you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so interesting quotes out of Timberwolves land here this week. We'll start with Anthony Edwards, who apparently has just been a joy to interview. He has a quote that he mentioned in practice early on, I guess today, Wednesday, that he says, I'll just read the quote verbatim because you have to. Man, it's hard to guard screens in the NBA. Them dudes big. Them dudes setting them screens, they be big. Once I watch enough film on that, it'll become easy for me because I'm pretty big also. That's perfect. It sounds like something that like Boban would say or something. That you know, I'm pretty big also, so that this should work out for me, basically. He also talked a little bit about getting back in rhythm, how he hasn't played a competitive game in 9 months. Of course, that's true of everybody that's out there. But add in some of the other issues, or the other, I guess, the short end of the stick that Edwards has drawn in terms of not playing postseason basketball last year, not knowing where he'd play this fall for a long time, not having a typical, you know, combine, run-up, you know, the same rhythm that you would normally have leading into a draft process. And then also this kind of breakneck speed. In the past month, he's been drafted. He's gone to a super quick training camp with a weird, you know, 4-day quarantine period leading into that. Doesn't know his teammates, both on the court or off the court. They can't do all the same off the court stuff as they typically would because of the COVID protocols. So there's plenty of, you know, everybody's kind of in the same boat, and especially rookies, but I think it's important to remember those things for Edwards, and he's acknowledging that as well, but I don't think he's using it as an excuse. So he talks about doing some film study, getting better guarding screens. That was entertaining, I guess, to say the least. He talked about how basically he hasn't played 5-on-5 in 10 months, pretty much. He needs to get more comfortable. He knows that when he's on the court with Towns and Russell, he's not going to take, quote, crazy shots. But when Rubio's on the floor, for instance, if he's playing with the second unit, he'll be relied on to score more, which incidentally, I noted this on Tuesday's show, that Edwards has actually played pretty well with the starting unit. He's filled that role well. He's hit a couple of spot-up jumpers. He's gotten to the basket a little bit. He's ran a little bit in transition. Kind of that. I think the best he's played is with that hybrid, you know, when the first subs come in. And if you can get him on the court with Rubio, the second shift there, when Russell comes off the court initially and then comes back, like end of the first quarter, the lineup that has Rubio, Russell, and Edwards in it together, I think is probably the way to go, because then, you know, D'Lo can do the majority of the scoring. Both Rubio and D'Lo can get shots for Edwards. To this point, I think he's looked most comfortable there. And then when he's been on the court with mostly second unit guys, you know, no Russell, no Towns, he's out there with Rubio and then, you know, Josh Okogie, who's not potentially Okogie, I guess more Jarrett Culver, guys that aren't necessarily efficient scorers. Then Edwards has gone out of his way to be more aggressive, and he just hasn't played well. He had four or five turnovers the other night on Monday. And again, not super alarming this early, but some of the same issues I think that a lot of us expected with him, you know, being new to the NBA. But the positive thing is he's played well with the starting unit and when he's gotten to share the court with Towns and gotten to share the court with D'Angelo Russell. So that'll be what we were looking out for. And it sounds like the Wolves coaching staff has empowered him to, in his words, take crazier shots with that second unit than when he's out there with the first unit. So that's interesting, something to keep an eye on as well. The other kind of batch of quotes, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, there was an article by Chris Hine at the Star Tribune about RHJ and his trying to basically horn his way onto the roster. Remember, he's on a non-guaranteed contract, and John Hollinger of the fantastic Hollinger and Duncan podcast on the Locked On NBA Network and also on The Athletic talked about Hollis-Jefferson as the best value signing of all the free agent signings throughout the offseason, not just for the Timberwolves, but across the NBA, player who's worth $7, $8 million a year on a non-guaranteed veterans minimum contract with the Timberwolves. I mean, talked about this on Tuesday. He was probably the best player on the floor for the Wolves on Monday. He scored he had 6-for-6 shooting in 15 minutes. I think he had 17 points, was awesome defensively, had a couple of steals, a couple of blocks, and was basically just a bull in a china shop in a good way. He just came out there and played with energy and disrupted things for Memphis, keyed a 10-0 run that got the Wolves to within 14 points. And so this article from Hine has some great quotes from Hollis-Jefferson himself, where he's talking about how he wants to compete. He wants to play with energy. And then he's basically speaking into existence being on the final roster. He says, part of this quote from Hollis-Jefferson, and this is again from Chris Hine's article at the Star Trib. Hollis-Jefferson says, quote, "I'm definitely looking forward to being out there competing in the regular season." I mean, he's speaking it into existence that he's going to be on the roster. He's just kind of saying, this is what I'm doing, just dropping that in there. And then there's also a quote from Saunders. I don't have it in front of me, but effectively Saunders is like, yeah, it's going to be hard to not play him. I mean, he's basically a coach's dream. And I mean, if he's going to play hard, you can look past the 3-point shooting issues. I mean, Josh Okogie can't shoot threes either, but he's a good defender and he's an energetic player. Hollis-Jefferson's like a tamer version of Okogie, but or maybe a more focused version of Okogie and more polished offensively. Hollis-Jefferson can play in an offense. He can score as a cutter. He can score in the paint. He's maybe not as effective in transition as Okogie, but Okogie's still refining what his role is on offense and still trying to figure that out. Hollis-Jefferson could do those things already, and he's a more natural fit at the four. I know the Wolves have talked about playing Okogie there, but if this team's trying to win, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's better than Josh Okogie. He just is, and he's a better fit at the four. He's a better fit with Towns, and he's going to end up getting those minutes. I mean, if this team wants to be good, again, Hollis-Jefferson's primarily played on good teams, especially the last couple of years. He was an important player for the Toronto team that won 50-some games. He was on the playoff team in Brooklyn a couple of years ago with D'Angelo Russell. So he has a clear track record of being successful being on successful teams and playing a role on those teams, whereas Okogie frankly hasn't. And I'm not saying he can't have that. He can't achieve that, right? He can be a solid role player. He is a good defender, but he certainly has shortcomings and is not nearly as polished as a player like Hollis-Jefferson. And then Okogie actually had a quote about Hollis-Jefferson in the article. He says, "Since day one, Rondae has been great. He tells me all the time, we got to be the ones that anchor the defense down. Just seeing him play is very inspiring. The energy he brought out Monday, he just makes you ask yourself, what kind of guy wouldn't want to play with a guy like Rondae?" So, I mean, Okogie sees it. The players see it. The coaching staff sees it. The front office, I'm sure there's a reason they brought him in. Still shocking to me that he went so long without being signed in the offseason and that all he got was a non-guaranteed deal with the Wolves. So we'll see how this shakes out. But at this point, it looks pretty clear that he's going to make this team. And if he doesn't, I think the Wolves would be making a huge mistake. All right. Next, I want to get into this SI list and talk about why it's better than the ESPN list and where the Timberwolves' three best players are ranked on this list. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our great friends at Headspace. Life can be stressful even under normal circumstances. 2020 has challenged even the most difficult times of life. You need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes. That's Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So, whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind down sessions their members swear by. And for parents like yours truly, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. All right, coming up tomorrow on Locked On Wolves, of course, we're going to talk about the preseason matchup against the Dallas Mavericks, Luka Doncic and company on Thursday evening in Dallas. It's a 7:30 tip. And then later this week, we'll start on Friday previewing the season. What I want to get into is some league-wide type previews, a prediction about the division, the Western Conference playoffs, and then also kind of my main predictions for the season. Of course, the Locked On NBA preview series is ongoing. And so I did submit the Wolves segment as part of the Northwest Division show that's publishing here in a couple of days. So I'll hit a couple of things that are included in that, as well as expanding on a couple of preview items as well next week. So there's that to look forward to. All right, what I want to do now, though, is talk about that SI list of the top players in the league. Of course, we talked last week about ESPN's list. And let's compare the two lists. We'll say what Sports Illustrated says about the three Wolves players on the top 100 list, and then compare the rankings, and I'll give my thoughts on where they're ranked, the players that are ranked around them. This list was just published on Tuesday of this week, so hot off the presses, and Sports Illustrated has published yet another top 100 list. This is, let's see, SI writers Rohan Nadkarni, Michael Shapiro, and Ben Pickman gave their feedback for this, and then they also have links on this to the top 100 players of the past several years. So what I'll do is I'll quickly kind of mention where each of these players were ranked last year on the list, as well as where they are on ESPN's list this year. So without further ado, the first Wolves player ranked, or I guess the lowest player ranked, is Ricky Rubio. So this is similar to the ESPN list. Ricky Rubio on ESPN's list was ranked number 93. And I thought that was a little bit low. I thought he should be in the 80s. Sports Illustrated has him at 82. So this is right in line with where I would have expected to see him. Going back to last year's Sports Illustrated list, Ricky Rubio was ranked number 73 heading into his first season with the Phoenix Suns. And then, of course, last year he had his best shooting year, at least from a three-point perspective, 36% from beyond the arc, and yet he still dropped 9 spots, which is a little bit surprising. To be clear, I think 82 is fair, and I'll talk about that in a second. 2 years ago on SI's list, Rubio was actually ranked number 57, which is a little bit shocking. That's in between his two seasons in Utah. He was a big part of that Jazz team and then, you know, took a little bit of a backseat in year two in Utah before moving on to Phoenix. But 57 to 73 to 82, I don't know how he's free-falling that much. He's still a top, you know, 15 or so point guard in the league, in my opinion. At any rate, I think 82 is a fair rank for Rubio. I think he's right around that 80 to 85 mark. It talks about his, it even mentions that Rubio in this blurb on SI that he was in the top 10 in ESPN's Real Plus Minus for point guards, which I think is a really good kind of comprehensive metric. Players that he beat out, he's one spot ahead of Goran Dragic, which is significant. Couple spots ahead of Buddy Hield. I don't even think Hield should be as high as 84, quite frankly. Marc Gasol's at 85, Joe Harris at 86, Millsap 87, Spencer Dinwiddie down at 88, Serge Ibaka 89, Lou Williams at 90. A couple players that Rubio barely beat out on this list. He's just behind Eric Gordon, who's at 81, Montrezl Harrell's at 80, Jeremy Grant at 79, Joe Ingles, former teammate of Rubio's, at 78, Gary Harris at 77. So I think this is about right. That's probably almost exactly where I would have ranked him. If you just ask me, you know, where does Rubio rank in terms of the entire league? I would have said in the 80s. So no problem here with that particular ranking. Now we get into the matter of D'Angelo Russell. And this is, Russell's apparently more of a lightning rod than I expected when it comes to how he's valued across the league. I talked about this last week. On ESPN's list, he was ranked number 69, which is just insanely low. The year before on ESPN's list was even more insane, but the other direction, he was ranked 24th. In no world was D'Angelo Russell ever the 24th best player in the league. He's not now. He wasn't a year ago. And in no world is he the 69th best player. There's a ton of numbers in between that ESPN could have picked that they could have put Russell at that would have made some sense in between 24 and 69. I actually think Sports Illustrated's ranked this pretty well the last 2 years. Last year, they had D'Angelo Russell ranked number 44. 2 years ago, he wasn't ranked at all. That was prior to his first All-Star year in Brooklyn. Last year, right after his All-Star year in Brooklyn, they won 42 games, went to the playoffs. He goes to Golden State in the sign-in trade. And headed into last season, he was ranked 44th on the list with, you know, some caveats in there about, hey, if he can show that he can bring a team to the playoffs type of a thing, then he could get into the 30s with his rank. He didn't have a very good year last year. He wasn't great in Golden State. He played on a bad team. He didn't have anybody around him. He was really bad defensively. Most of his offensive numbers were similar. And I talked about this last week. There's no way he should have dropped from 24 to 69 because he had a bad defensive year on two bad defensive teams in Golden State and Minnesota. So on SI's list, he fell from 44 to 46. That feels about right. He should be in that upper 40s. Maybe even you could convince me there's 50 players better than D'Angelo Russell, but it'd be tough. I think he's probably right in that high 40s, right around 50 number. 46 feels right. So this write-up here at SI talks about him being a productive player, capable of playing both on and off the ball. He should elevate Towns. He should play with Rubio. You know, Russell has said himself, obviously the Wolves want Rubio to help Anthony Edwards and Malik Beasley elevate their game, but Russell said that Rubio should help him as he helped Booker in Phoenix and Mitchell in Utah. And again, defense is what's holding Russell back. He still can improve some of his efficiency on offense. He shoots a lot of mid-range jumpers. He shoots a lot of contested jumpers. We know that. But he's so good still offensively that, you know, the 40s seems right. I still can't get my mind around the fact that he was ranked number 69 on the ESPN list or that he was 24 last year. So I think that it shows us just how unscientific that particular list is and how basically crowdsourced it is among their dozens and dozens of analysts. On Sports Illustrated, it's done a lot more metric-based, and that's why I agree more with these rankings. You know, players right behind Russell on this list, Kevin Love, he's just ahead of Love. Steven Adams, 48. Danilo Gallinari, 49. Mike Conley at 50. John Wall, 51. I believe the ESPN list had Wall pretty significantly ahead of Russell, which seems crazy after we haven't seen him play in almost 2 years. I don't know. It seems right. Blake Griffin's at 45, just ahead of Russell. I'd probably put Russell ahead of Blake Griffin. Yusuf Nurkic at 44, same thing. I just don't know that we've seen enough post-injury from Nurkic to rank him as the 44th best player in the league. Nikola Vucevic at 43 seems a little low for him. Victor Oladipo at 42. Again, post-injury Oladipo, I don't know that you can convince me he's for sure a better player than D'Angelo Russell. He certainly wasn't when he returned from injury last year, but a healthy Oladipo should be. John Morant at 41. I mean, based on the last two preseason games against the Wolves, that seems right, but recency bias. Otherwise, I would have said seems a little high for the runner-up rookie of the year last year. Kristaps Porzingis at 40. Again, injury issues are the question mark there. So Russell's kind of surrounded by these players who are either up and coming like Morant or have injury issues like Griffin, Porzingis, Nurkic. What's that going to look like long term? And is Russell ranked appropriately compared to those players? Obviously, this grand scheme of things doesn't matter, but it's fun to debate. And I do think Sports Illustrated has really done a much, much better job than ESPN in ranking the players, which brings us to Karl-Anthony Towns. So I want to talk about where they rank him compared to where ESPN ranked him. That's coming up next. First, though, let's talk about Built Go. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market, and not just a workout gel. It's just like a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling that you get from a 5-hour energy. Plus, Built Go is natural. It's better for your body. It's like drinking a Monster with only a third the caffeine and better results. It comes in 1.5-ounce packages, so you can bring it in your bag as you go to work, as you go to school, throw it in your golf bag, throw it in your gym bag, put it in your pocket. It's the perfect size to help you break through your mental or physical wall and convenience to carry around with you. There's three delicious flavors of Built Go. It's peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, or chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing. It gets into your system fast and it's easy on your stomach. It's loaded with good stuff like beta alanine, vitamin B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Visit builtgo.com. Use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. NBA fans, listen up. The Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all week long. Plus, waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball and rookies to watch from draft guru Chad Ford. I will be tuning into the preview of the Northwest Division coming up here in the next couple of days. Of course, featuring yours truly, evaluating the Timberwolves' upcoming season. You can subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Let's talk about Karl-Anthony Towns and where Sports Illustrated has ranked Towns on their top 100 player list compared to where he was ranked at ESPN and where he was ranked previously at Sports Illustrated. This year, Karl-Anthony Towns is ranked number 18 on the Sports Illustrated top 100 player list. Last year on Sports Illustrated lists, he was all the way up to 13, which maybe seemed a little bit high for a reference point. He was just ahead of Rudy Gobert, two spots ahead of Kyrie Irving, three spots ahead of LaMarcus Aldridge, also ahead of Draymond Green, and he was just behind Russell Westbrook last year, who's taken a big fall on all these lists. He was just behind Jimmy Butler, Damian Lillard. I should also say 2 years ago, he was ranked number 19 on Sports Illustrated list. So from 19 to 13 and now up to 18, or down to 18, I should say, on the ESPN list. And I thought he was slightly too low here. He was number 23. So this is, again, right in line. I really think, and if you go back and listen to my analysis of ESPN's list last week on the show, I thought that Towns should be in the high teens. I thought that Russell should be in the 40s or 50s. I thought that Rubio should be in the 80s. And Sports Illustrated did exactly that. So Karl-Anthony Towns is ranked 18. SI talks about how he can do anything offensively. He struggles defensively. We know these things. He's got to mesh with Russell, and he's surrounded with talented pieces. Basically, this season will offer a better gauge of where the franchise stands, is kind of their summary there. This seems right. Players he's just beat out, again, just ahead of Kyrie Irving by one spot. Of course, Kyrie was hurt a good chunk of last year. Two spots ahead of Bam Adebayo. ESPN had Adebayo a few spots ahead of Karl-Anthony Towns. Ben Simmons is down at 21, Jamal Murray at 22, Donovan Mitchell 23. Those are all players that ESPN had, I believe, just in front of Towns. And part of my argument was I thought Towns should be slightly in front of each of those guys. Devin Booker, 24. That's another player who is ranked very highly by ESPN. Russell Westbrook at 25, Drew Holiday at 26. Players that Towns finished just behind on this list, Jason Tatum at 17, Rudy Gobert at 16. Gobert tumbled a little on ESPN's list this year as well. Bradley Beal at 15. I think I could make a case for Towns being ahead of both Gobert and Beal at this point. Chris Paul's back up at 14, Paul George at 13, Damian Lillard at 12. You know, I think Towns at 18 is maybe still slightly low. I think I probably put him at 16 or 17 after kind of looking at this again. I think you could argue for him ahead of Beal. I think you could argue for him ahead of Gobert. I agree with him being ahead of Kyrie. I agree with him being ahead of Bam, although I maybe would flop like Bam and Beal. I'd maybe put Bam one slot ahead of Towns just based on what the Heat were ultimately able to do last year with basically Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and a bunch of guys who, you know, good players. Tyler Hero is a good player. Goran Dragic is a good player, but they're not stars, and Adebayo and Butler are, and Adebayo was a huge part of that team getting to the finals last year. So something like Adebayo 16, Towns 17, or maybe Adebayo 15, Towns 16, I could get on board with that. And, you know, sliding Gobert behind Towns along with Mitchell, along with Jamal Murray, some of those guys who are more higher usage scorers who haven't necessarily shown that they can truly lead a team to where they need to go. I mean, Jamal Murray's not the best player on the Nuggets, so it's not like he carried. I know he had a great playoff series, but he's not the reason the Nuggets had some success in the postseason when, frankly, they've underachieved in the postseason the last couple of years. And Donovan Mitchell's kind of the same thing. I mean, he is the best player on that Jazz team. Well, I guess you could make the argument for Gobert. He's the best offensive player on the Jazz team. But it's not like they've seen great success, whereas Towns has had less around him than some of these other players. And I don't want to get too into the weeds on this, but it's close. I think the SI list is by far the best one of these lists we've seen. Bleacher Report had one over the summer we talked about that was pretty good. The ESPN one is just, it's really funky. And I think Sports Illustrated did a much better job. And the Wolves, they have three top 85 players. If you include Rubio there, they've got two top 50 players, I think pretty clearly, in Russell and Towns, and one top 20 player in Karl-Anthony Towns. I think ESPN's ranking of 23 is just a bit low, and it's pretty I think it's pretty easy to call Towns a top 20 player in the NBA. And I don't think that's crazy by any stretch of the imagination. All right. That's all we have for you today on the show. Of course, Thursday, we will preview the Thursday night preseason game against the Mavericks. I'm still so excited to have Timberwolves basketball back that I'm doing it. I'm previewing a preseason game. We're going to go there. We're going to talk about the Mavs, talk about the matchup a little bit, what to watch for. And then we'll launch into some of the season preview stuff over the next handful of shows here before the real season kicks off next Wednesday against the Detroit Pistons at Target Center. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And also, if you can, help us out with a review on Apple. That definitely helps us out. Follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, one last reminder that today's show was brought to you by 1010, the exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. The exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th. You can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. That's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening. My name is Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.